Praise the Lord. Well, good to be with you one more time. I want to thank you for your offerings, your generosity. In fact, I told Brother Bob and somebody was talking to me this morning, I said, I have been accused of being stingy. And I think just to offset that, I'm going to give $100 in the offering this morning. That'd prove I'm generous. Hallelujah. Certainly enjoyed Brother Joy Holden's message, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wasn't that wonderful? But not only did he bless me, because he is Brother Bob Holden's grandson. Brother Bob Holden, I think when he had an Iwo Jima, amen, he was at a Iwo Jima. Yes, sir. And Brother Joy was in the Marines. And, you know, they say once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. You know, so that. And I knew his daddy and his mama. In fact, I dedicated a parsonage, I believe, for him at Mulberry, Kansas. And his daddy was easy to talk to. He was real easy. He had a nice spirit about him. I'm sorry the devil throwed him a curve, but I'm glad that God saw fit to make both of his boys preachers. Hallelujah.
Really,
praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's the grace of God.
Yes,
I told you before about the time I had a cousin there, and there, well, he didn't live there at the time, maybe, but anyway, he was just always beating people out of money, you know what I'm saying? And if he borrowed money from me, he'd never pay it back. I'd come home, tell Mary I loaned him some money, and she'd say, what in the world for? I said, why did you loan him that? I said, because he didn't ask for twice that much. And she said, well, and I said, I know that I won't be bothered now for 2 years. He'll try to wait till I forget that he owes me that money, you know. And he was just, I mean, his wife and children home, and he was good. He was a good painter. He could trim trees, do a lot of stuff, but he wouldn't do. He just drank and run around on his wife and come home when she'd get her welfare check and take it out and spend it on some other woman, leave her and the kids hungry, you know. One day I met his son. His name was the same as mine, Charles, and my son's name. And Charles told me, he said, hey, I got saved.
Well,
hallelujah.
Well.
And I thought, you got saved? I said, that's nice. You know, but I was thinking about my own son, Charles, that wasn't saved. And I thought, I'd dedicate him, Lord. First place I ever went was church. And here's not living for God, and here's this man's son saved. And later I met him. He said, I got the Holy Ghost. That's good. Later I met him. He said, I've started preaching.
Well.
Amen. But that's the grace of God.
That's the
good grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You don't have to be raised in somebody's home, preacher's home, to be saved and sanctified, baptized the Holy Ghost, called to preach. God's grace is wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I was really glad. And sad thing about Charlie, he died a young man in a car accident. But to think that God reached down in a home. Now, his mama was a good mama, but he just reached down and took him when his brother was in prison and his other brother wasn't doing right, and here he got saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, isn't it? Well,
yes, it is good.
And I want to say one more thing, Brother Joy. I felt the Holy Ghost touch me when you said something. I'm not going to tell you what you said. But when I look at it, I'm glad for the promise that it gave me. But I think it'll be somewhat a battle to get it to come to pass. But I felt the Holy Ghost touch me when you said that, and whatever it was. And so I'm going to look, see what God's going to do about that. It's good to hear Brother Gabbard last night, wasn't it?
Yes,
wasn't that good?
Good?
That was just so good. I loved it. And the only thing is, I was sitting by him last night eating him, spot with him rather than not thinking. Boy, careful what you think. Don't, you know, be careful what you're thinking. Because remember he told you how that he showed me that bull barrel 22, and I looked at it and thought, boy, if I was going to pick a gun, I'd like to have this. And I got ready to leave next morning, and he said, here's the gun you wanted. I said, or something like that. Well, I didn't say anything about it. Well, he said, you didn't, but you did. Amen. He knew what I was thinking. So I kind of think, you know, be negative, you know, think going neutral. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Right. But it's good to have people like that and glad for every man's gift that God has given to him. And I listened to that preaching this morning. I wouldn't want him any different. Would you?
No.
Wasn't it a blessing?
Yeah.
Amen. It's just been good for the preaching that we've heard this past week. I don't know if I'll be around. I think I will next year. But I think you ought to get someone else. And I believe you ought to wait till I preach this morning, make up your mind. But because I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'll look for myself, Sister Barnett. I have wasted quite a bit of time. And but let me just say one thing. Every morning I come down off of that mountain, there's that little waterfall. It's coming down the mountain, remember that water coming down there? Isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty? And just pretty soon I'm going to climb in my car and I'm going to start home and I'm going to dread running out of these mountains. Amen. Although the driving's better, you can just set your cruise, you know. You can't cruise. Now, my daughter and son-in-law, they set their cruise, and he said, brr, that just drives me crazy. Don't tell them I said so. But anyway, but when I get out of this, you can set your cruise, and I love that, setting the cruise and just sitting there, you know. But I like it when I'm coming down here. I can't wait to see if my first mountain. I have hills. We have hills back home, but these are different, and I love them. Well, how about it? You had a good title there, The Anointing That Awakens the Dead Promise. Wasn't that good? That sounds like something Joey Hyde would think, come up with. Hallelujah. And by the way, I miss him. What if I preached on the promise that awakens dead bodies? Could I turn that around?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You're going to pray for me. Let's bow our heads just for a quick word of prayer. God, in the name of Jesus, I need your help now. I need your help. I need your help, Lord. I really do. Lord, we've been fed so rich this morning. It's been so good. It's almost like we had dessert early. God, we pray that you'd move, Lord. God, help me now to get the burden of my heart to these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to see the Lord, don't you? This isn't really my message, but it is in my notes, some things I just wrote down. I was thinking one time about that scripture, Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Huh? Hallelujah. How pure is my heart, you know? I'm doing pretty good until Sister Barnett says something about wanting a motorhome, you know. Blessed are the pure in heart, you know. And I got to looking at that and trying to figure that out because I surely want to see God. But to have a pure heart, you know. I mean, the devil he blindsides you every once in a while. You'll be running along, somebody's run out in front of you or something like that. And the worst thing is when I run out in front of somebody and they think, what's that old man doing? And I'm driving down the road saying, I wish I could disappear, you know. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I got to look at this and I found in Luke 11:41, where Jesus said, rather give alms of such things you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And I looked at that word and clean is the same as pure. It's the same Greek word. Well, I like that pretty good. The Bible said Dorcas is full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. amen, and gave alms. And he said, you give alms, that's do good things for people, and all things are clean to you. She made coats and garments and said, well, I got a little hand on that. You know, I could work on that. And then I wrote down this, amen, because it said, if you give alms or if you do good things for people, all things, you remember, God's unrighteous, forget your work, nor ever love, which you shoot doors in the name that you minister to the saints and do minister, you know, amen. God's unrighteous, do, you know, help the saints, do alms deed, and all things are clean. So I wrote this down because I remember the scripture in John that says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. That's something like it ought to be. And I thought about it. I wrote this down. Blessed are those whose hearts are cleansed, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to have the blood always availing for us? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that?
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Dexter Worrell, amen. You know, you don't have to know everything, do everything right. Brother Dexter Worrell started preaching, won a lot of people the Lord, and he didn't believe in tithing. He fought it. He argued against it. You know everything in the world. One night, I think he was, said he was laying in bed, and all of a sudden the scripture of Luke 11:42 comes to, and some said, that's a Gentile wrote that. Wasn't a Jew. Wasn't for the Jewish law. It's a Gentile. And Brother Johnny said, that got a hold of me. And said, I come almost backsliding when I saw that I was wrong. Said, I fought with it. Finally, I said, Lord, I'll do it. Just don't tell nobody. Because, said, you know, I fought it so hard, but I'll start paying tithes. And so he made a promise, and he did just, God never told nobody. But the next Sunday when he was up teaching class, he wasn't even teaching about that. The guy raised his hand. Brother Dexter took his, you know, yes. He said, Pastor, how do we believe about tithing? So God let him tell him.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Now, I wasted a lot of time, but I want to see God. And there's something I feel like that we need to realize is that when we see him, we will have a new body. Hallelujah. I want to just go, if the Lord will help me, and I'll not take a lot of time, I'll just make this like a Sunday school lesson, and I hope you'll forgive me for it. But the oldest book in the Bible, a man in deep trial and sore and sick, and sitting on an ash heap, and all of his friends accusing him of being unfaithful to his wife, really what they accused him of. He had, evidently had a disease that was a social disease. And I tell people, I don't know, this ain't in my message, but I really think when his wife said, curse God and die, he was such a good man, she felt like God wouldn't have put that on him. She didn't believe he was guilty of it. She felt like he ought to die. God wasn't fair but doing that to him. But what he said was in the 25th verse, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin were desired to destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I don't know this right, but the center column of my reverence says, are my reins, that is my desires within me, are consumed with that earnest desire to see God. Hallelujah. That's what I read it. I don't know that. But, you know, the wise man, that wise worldly man, he had this to say in Ecclesiastes 12:7, said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And then he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He didn't have the hope that Job did he, huh? He didn't have that hope, but I want to tell you something. There's something that we're kind of overlooking, and I feel like the Lord kind of gave me an understanding about it, and that is the fact that there is going to be a bodily resurrection. These bodies that we have, that we're wearing, amen, they may go back to dust, but there is going to be a resurrection, a bodily resurrection. Romans, the 8th chapter, has much to do with that bodily resurrection. Amen. I know we quote that scripture, you know, if your loved one gets killed suddenly or something, you know, and you'll be standing up there casket, you got so much grief you can't hardly stand to somebody walk up and say, well, all things work together for good. Bad devil out there, you know. But what he was talking about was that God has got a plan for your body. And, you know, I know I'm country, so I'll say body. But I mean body, you know. All right. But the Bible said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this is Romans 8 and 18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly. Remember, Genesis 3:19. You know, sweat of your brow, you know, you're going to earn your living. You're going to, you know, be subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glory. Hallelujah. It's not just going to be my spirit up there floating around somewhere. Or even enjoy self. I realize the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. I realize that Paul said that in Corinthians. And I know that when I die, I'll immediately go there. But I want to tell you something. Amen. God has got a DNA bank up there that knows more about DNA than anybody else in this world. He's got the whole universe. Amen. To store it. Hallelujah. And there will come a time when that DNA in my spirit will match the DNA in this dust down here, and God will resurrect it and put it back with my body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Yes, I said that, Genesis 3:19. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Amen. Nobody, amen, wants to give up this old frame, even though it's getting worn out. There's just something about us. This is home to us, and we like it. Amen. But we want to realize, the Bible said, we groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. God has paid a price, and that body is going to be redeemed and brought out of this old earth. Amen. And we're going to show the world God's promises are true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm not getting this like I want to. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about the redemption of the body. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. His purpose is that this body might be redeemed from the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something else. When I said that we didn't want to be unclothed, the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And just give me time, amen. But I know where we know it. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. That the mortality might be swallowed up in life. I don't know about you, but I believe that. I really believe that. Yeah. Hallelujah. I believe when we sang that song in the book you have here, Psalm 134. Amen. What a happy day. I mean, I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. I believe that's a song we ought to sing and let the world know that you're not going to get rid of us. Amen. Simply because we die. Now, I'm trying to hurry here because I know I'm running out of time. I've got a long ways to drive, but that ain't nothing in my mind. I don't worry about that. Amen. I'll enjoy it. I'll guarantee you I will. The Bible said this, talking about the resurrection. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? The Bible says, thou fool, that which thou sowest not quickened, except it die. It's got to die or be changed, one of the two. But here's what I like. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He had power to give life to whomsoever he would. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And did you catch that? Amen. Just as one star difference in each other. Amen. We can't tell it from looking from a distance, but every one of you. I know the Bible says, behold, what manner of the love of the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as is. We'll have a body just like his glorious body, but we'll be different. Amen. We won't be little clones. Amen. God said, just as I made each star different, you're going to come out of this earth different. Amen. You sow the bare grain. It may be wheat. It may be barley, whatever it is. But God has a decision to make. And when you come out of this world, thanks be unto God. Amen. I laid my son to rest just a few days ago. But I put a terrible body in the ground. But there'll be a glorious body that comes out of the ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm probably running over something I shouldn't. Amen. But I'm trying not to. But I'm trying to talk to you about this and see, look at this. You know, if Christ be not dead. You remember my dad wrote this. I've read this to you nearly every, I don't know why I do. I always do down here. Amen. But this is what my dad wrote the day before the morning he was killed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Do you believe that Christ rose again? Do you believe he rose again from the dead? Amen. Then our preaching is not in vain. And if he rose again from the dead, then he will raise us up also. That's his promise, that there will be a resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm glad to tell you this morning, amen, we're going to go from dust to dominion. Hallelujah. We're going to go down from being nothing to judging angels and judging this world. Hallelujah. We're going to see a time when a glorious church will stand with all of its glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I'm at now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let me go a little farther. I'm trying to look at this and say, what do I need to read and what do I need not to read? Because there's a lot to read, you know. Amen. But I think about this. My dad didn't have a second grade education. He had to read the Bible. He'd say, T-H-E-T-H-E. Amen. That little words like that, that's what he had to do to read the Bible. But the morning he died, he wrote about if Christ be risen, preached that he rose from the dead. How say, among, I don't know why I lost that paper. I kept it for years. When I'd get down out, Brother Joy, I'd pull that out. And I remember that dad got hurt in that hunting accident and died that night. Amen. He died the same day he wrote it down. Christ, be, if dead raised not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. It's vain. You're yet in your sins. Now, I want to show you something. I like this. I don't preach because I'm a wise man in the Bible, but I feel like sometimes the Lord reveals things to me that's in the Scriptures, and I think this is very important. Amen. All right, now, listen. Amen. For it's this life only we have hope in Christ.
we're of all men most miserable. Now, we can talk all about we want to, how we want to, about how, oh, if it wasn't no heaven or hell, I'd live this way anyway. That's because we have the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. We don't know what we're saying. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of like Brother Bobby Ryan. He just been saved, just got saved. Had a little girl. They named her Amanda Faith. And I think Sister Barnett, she was 3 weeks old when she died. Hadn't been saved just a little. 3 months old, all right. About 3 months old, and she died. He was grieving. He was grieving outside the funeral home. And he told us later how he did. Said, I was out there in the dark, and I was grieving and thinking, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you comforting me? And he said, the Lord said, I am comforting you. He said, I'll remove my spirit and let you see what it's like without me. And he said, all of a sudden, something moved out of me. And he said, I began to jump and scream in agony. Amen. Then God came back, and he saw that my grief was just partial. Amen. That God was helping me. I didn't know how much he was helping me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if this life only be hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. First fruit, that's always in the singular, they tell me, of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Now I read you something, and you may have overlooked it, but there's two places where it talks about Christ being raised, amen, and being the first fruits. In the first verse, it said the first fruits of them that slept. Past tense. The next, it said them that are sleeping. Present tense. Huh? What are you saying, Brother Charles? Now, I feel like the Lord revealed this to me, and I hope that it'll help you. Go with me to St. John if you want to. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I see right now I skipped something. Boy, I wish I'd wrote this down. I just couldn't get it together. Amen. But listen, in St. John 5, I want to read you something. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Now, I don't know if it's good to say this or not, but when you read the 27th verse, it says judgment. That's the same word that's translated condemnation. Amen. Talks like possibly if you have everlasting life, you don't have to worry about the judgment bar of God. We'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but we'll be there to receive rewards. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because his Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. And so that damnation, if I am looking at it right, is the same word we translated judgment, amen, or condemnation, amen, the resurrection of that great judgment. He said, marvel not, but I want you to notice now. Notice in verse 25, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But down in this next verse, it says that the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. They have done good in the resurrection of life. They have done evil in the resurrection of damnation. There's 1,000 years between there and that lasted. But here's what I felt like the Lord dealt with me several months ago. I run across that, and I looked at that, and I turned then to Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 50th verse, and it says this. And when Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, or verse 52, and the graves were opened. Notice, in that one here, he talks about the dead shall hear the voices of God, and they that hear shall live. Then there's that general resurrection. But there is this resurrection. God given us proof that when he makes a promise, his promise can raise dead bodies. You understand? Now, you may have already known this, so I don't know. It may be something I'm slow on about. The graves are open, and many bodies of the saints which was slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Remember the Bible said, well, he's become the first fruits of them that slept. He was the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. And it came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about that. The Bible said many bodies. How long had they been dead? I have no earthly idea. Were they just decomposing? Or had the bones went back to dust? It really doesn't make any difference to God. Hallelujah. There's a scripture I'd like to give at this time. If I can, and I'll go back. No, I'll wait till later on that. But I want you to think about this. I'm talking about God's proof that he can resurrect from the dead. Now, if the Bible's true, he's given us proof right here. I don't believe in soul sleep. I hope you don't, but if you do, that's your business. But I don't believe that. I believe you go back there. Your spirit goes back there. It's alive. It's well. It's whole as far as that's concerned. But because of the fact that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that blood that was dripping, amen, wasn't just for our souls. It was for our bodies as well, amen. And the earth shook and trembled and rejoiced to realize that there was going to be a resurrection of the saints, hallelujah, that come out of her bowels, amen. And what's more, the new Adam should walk, amen, risen right out of the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, I don't mean anything to you. But that blesses my soul. Amen. Now, went in the church. Went in and appeared unto many. Now I want to turn back to something else. This makes all the sense in the world to me. I want to go back to Romans. The 8th chapter. And I know that I wish I had my notes later there where I could read it. But anyway, I can't. All right, listen to this. And we know, that is a conjunction, talking about the Spirit helping us to pray. How do you know what to pray for in this old body? When do you know that you need to leave this world? I don't know. I got something good for you later on that back. Anyway, we know that all things work together for God to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Now remember, we're talking about many realms. He also did be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Resurrected, the first fruit of the resurrection. That he might be the firstborn, remember that word, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. These people that died had died before Christ came. They had died before the cross, amen. They died before that. But I want to turn, I think I could quote it to you, but I want to turn to something in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and I want to read you something there, if I could, please. 9th chapter, the Bible said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, them whom he called, he justified. Amen. Why were they justified? Because Christ had the reins of death, hell, amen. He had the reins. He had the keys. He had the ability. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said, amen, that they were the first servants, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I live on. Yes, I live on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, I don't feel like I'm getting this across to you, but I'm telling you, there will be a resurrection for us. Hallelujah. Just as there was a resurrection then, he was the first fruit of them that slept, and he'll be the first fruit of we that sleep in time to come. But there's something else again like this. I hope that it won't bother you. Amen. But the Bible said there, in the book of Romans, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, if you'd go with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the Bible says this, and it says, you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the, what? Firstborn. Hallelujah. Amen. which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, blood of sprinkling speaketh of better things than that of Abel. Amen. When we have church, we're marching in that direction. We're marching in that direction. Amen. We are realizing, amen, they were the members of the firstborn. Hallelujah. But we will be also with them. The Bible said they without should not be made perfect. Brother, amen, you talk about a happy time whenever we're resurrected out of this old graves and God proves his ability, amen, to resurrect the bodies. Hallelujah. Notice again, I'm hurrying. Because I realize that I'm out of time, but I'm just talking to you as best I can. I hope I ain't wearing you out. I used to think when I thought about this, I thought about where the Bible talked about how did this happen. Those saints went into the city and appeared unto many. They appeared unto many. But I thought, well, amen, how was that? Was that where Jesus said, touch me not, to Mary? Amen. I haven't ascended my father and your father. Was that when he took him home? Amen. I thought about that. But then I read where it said that same evening he just come and stood in their midst. Amen. No doors open. He ate. The Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But he said, spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Amen. He could eat. And somebody said, well, what about it? Did he have a digestive tract? I said, if God can make something out of nothing, he can make nothing out of something. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so, the Bible says, whenever Luke is writing, he said, these former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost. That is after that, after he was taken up. Amen. Why do you say that, Brother Charles? Because remember that scripture I quoted to you? Therefore, I'll give my seed the thanks which you heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast and every transgression disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is the first beginning to be spoken of our Lord and of our Lord, and is confirmed in us by them that heard him? Amen. By signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, after he was taken up, he through the Holy Ghost began to instruct his disciples what to say and what to do. That's not in my message particularly, but I just want to make a comment on that. Amen. The Bible said, to also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It wasn't just what he done, it was what those saints did as well, visiting from door to door and house to house. Amen. And saying, I am the one. I am Elijah. I am Elisha. Or not Elijah, he's our translator, but Elisha. Or saying, I am some other saint, amen, that died before. Could have said Daniel, Hosea. Could have said anybody, amen. But going from house to house, stirring up that city, and people are talking about, did you know the dead claims to have been raised? I saw him. Mama came by. Hallelujah. On her way to glory. Hallelujah. That's the far out you can't imagine, can you? Amen. Now, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were steadfast, looking steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, not angels, men, stood by them in white apparel. Not that word men is the same word translated in Matthew 1 where it says, and her husband, Joseph. That word husband, same, it's the same Greek word. It means a man. There's another word where the Bible said just men trod on you. If your salt is no good, they trod on you. That's a generic word. It means men and women. But this means man. These were men. Hallelujah. They stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, you have whatever you want to think. Imagine how you want to imagine. But I believe That wasn't those clouds out there that's got dust in them. I believe that that was the resurrected saints, amen, waiting for him to carry them into glory, to begin the triumphant march into heaven and prove the ability of the Son of God to give life to those he chose to give life to. I believe that, amen. I believe that cloud. The Bible said, wherefore sin will also compass about so great a cloud of witnesses. You think that's just a cloud? You know it isn't. It's clouds of witnesses, amen. Wherefore sin will also compass about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus will easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I'm talking to you this morning. I think it was as a established fact that Jesus did raise those from the dead. He said in John 5, they shall hear my voice and come out of the grave. Hallelujah. And he cried with a loud voice. And all of a sudden, graves, earthquake, and graves begin to open. Hallelujah. And I don't think the earthquake was rebellion, but I think it was rejoicing for the fact that God was keeping his promise. And he's going to separate the dust from the earth. Amen. And take his children home. Hallelujah. For whom he did foreknow, talking about those that come out of the grave. You see, if you don't use that, then it don't mean nothing. But if you look at it, we know that all things work together for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. What are we talking about? We're talking about groaning and waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That's what we're talking about. Huh?
That's right.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He made up his mind who's going to be called out, to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I'm pretty well through, but I want to do one thing. I want to give you something from Philippians 3:2-1. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Hallelujah. He came through the door. He went through the air. He ate, and yet he didn't gain weight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the resurrection. The proof of the resurrection, the fact that he's done it already. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Put them down, they're a part of it. They're a part of it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. As I said before, Philippians 3:1, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like to his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even subdue all things. That means death. Huh? That means the grave. Huh? All things unto himself. Amen. Change your vile bodies. Who shall change? You'll find that word translated in Luke 1:48, where Mary is talking about when the angel appeared and told her that she would have a son. Mary lived in a bad town. Amen. Had a bad reputation. The women were very loose in that town and promiscuous. They tell me, historians said that. I call it the trucker's town. You know, where the truck stops. But she said, he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. He's looked down at me and found one that wanted to be pure in a town of impurity and immorality. But I want to be pure. He was that one that looked down and saw that girl that's walking up the streets of a school and the other girls are chanting, making fun of her, because she don't know the relationship with the opposite sex. Huh? He hath regarded. Who shall change our lowest states? Amen. When people make fun of us because we want to live pure and clean and holy, he will change our lowest state. Another place, the Bible said, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Humiliation, same word. Look at this, if you would please. I thought about this. I thought about different times. You know, I may go to the nursing home. You may go to the nursing home. And we may come to a place where we cannot control ourselves. They may strip us of our clothing. They may come in, handle us roughly, and treat us bad because we cannot control our functions of our body anymore. Have to clean us and, you know, do all things, kind of humiliating things to us. But that change is going to come. He will change our humiliated bodies. He hung on the cross naked and humiliated. And if we have to be stripped and look bad, amen, he will change us, amen. Or if we're like those young ladies over across the waters that are being humiliated by ISIS, amen, by being molested and violated over and over again. Boys and girls are being done that way. Body parts are being cut off, humiliated. But I want you to know there's a change coming for them. There's a change. There is a resurrection of the bodies. Hallelujah. And another place that the Bible said, amen, God, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We may have to take the humble route, but there is a God that's going to resurrect that humbled body. What are you trying to say, Brother Charles? I wish I'd done better. I really had. I tried to hurry, and I hurried too fast. But I just want you to get that one thing. Amen. Jesus said, they shall hear my voice. And again, then all shall hear my voice. But he's talking about when he cried with that loud voice on the cross. You remember, the Bible said that that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. He fulfilled the word of God. And the word was that there was going to be a cry made. And there's going to be a response from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. He cried out and Lazarus arose. And he cried on the cross. And many of the saints that died under the law found grace under the cross. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What about it? Could we sing 134? Could we do that? Amen. You got two flats on your book. I don't know if you know what you mean or not.
Yeah, you got the wrong book.
Oh, I did.
Brother,
okay.
That's Brother Bob's book.
Oh, okay. Garrison. Garrison. Let's sing it. Let's sing it like we mean it. Hallelujah. I wish I could have got it. I know I didn't do it, but I wanted to get it across to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On that resurrection morning, isn't that where it goes? Huh?
Yes. Amen. Give us a key. Come on.
On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Well, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Have a new home of love eternal, where the redeemed of God to stand.
There'll be no sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound.
I'll have a new body.
Oh, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no sorrow,
no more pain.
There'll be no more strife.
We're raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord.
I'll have a new life.
Glorified with him forever. Never be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord.
I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of blood eternal, where the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no more strife.
Well, that is in the likeness of my Savior, ready to